Our Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you very much for being here to praise, to worship you, Father. You're present in this room. You watch our service. You watch our worship. So everything we do for your glory, Father. For the rest of the time, we're going to listen to your message. So I pray the Holy Spirit will be with me, using me to share the message through the scripture. And I praise the Holy Spirit will be with all the people in this room so you can hear the message and apply for their life. We love you and we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be said, you know, for the Vietnamese people, especially very close to Tết, Vietnamese New Year. And for Tết, you usually, when you meet the older people, they always wish you the blessing, prosperity, and longevity. Phúc lộc thọ. So that reason why, when it's closer to the year, you see the tradition with the, you know, the flower plants here. And on the Tết days, probably you get the lì xì. It represents prosperity. And they always wish the blessing, prosperity, and longevity. So that reason why, for the month of February, I'm beginning with a series about blessing, prosperity, and longevity. So it goes back to the question, how do we supposed to receive all three? It has to begin with the first step. And the first step, the Bible calls it the wholeness of worship. So I pick Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 to 8, to style the first step. Because when we right with God, everything else will fall in place. So sometimes the best time for worship are sometime in the middle of crisis or disappointments. And here when you study the book of Isaiah, you would find out Isaiah, he probably go to the temple just about every day, every week, because he's a priest. Okay? And his life seemed to be all pulled together. But however, when the year of the king Uzziah died, and suddenly all of his wish, his dream, seemed like to be collapsed. And here we're talking about the man of God, go to the church, go to the temple, just about every day, every week, and for a number of years. And somehow he did not see God until chapter 6, when the crisis, when things happened, and he learned something about the impact of worship, okay? And he learned something about the holiness of his heart. So when we talk about the first step, when we want to get everything, the blessing, the prosperity, the longevity, when we go back to the book of Isaiah chapter 6, a couple of things you learn through Isaiah. You would find out when we come to the worship, the wholeness of worship, we would recognize the unholiness is revealed, just like Isaiah. And you find out when you go through the process of worship, the holiness had to be activated. And the wholeness of the person will be restored. And the mission is found. So Isaiah visioned God's throne, gave him the horrible sense of his own worthiness and sinfulness. Remember, before that, he just fine. Okay? He wealthy. He get respected in the society. And when he come to the throne, when he come to the throne of the king Uzziah, okay, the king even respect him. So he had the position, he had wealth, he had everything. And remember back then when you can come to face with the king, you had to be extremely very much trusted in order to see the king. But one thing we learn, he didn't see God when he came to the worship. So that reason why, when he faced the Lord sitting on the throne, height and lift up, and suddenly he feel like he unworthiness and sinfulness. So I said, it means he said, woe is me, for I am undone, Because I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Remember, he's a priest, his advisor. And remember, surrounding of the King Uzziah at that time, there's a lot of advisor. And apparently, he just fine, communicate with the king. But somehow when he see God, experiencing God, he find out, oh, he in the midst of people unclean lips. So that thing would reveal to him. And I think when you study about the worship through the story of Isaiah, you will find out we are just about the same thing. We are about the same thing. Sometimes in our life we do certain thing. We think it's normal, but reality under the eyes of God is not normal at all. Okay? Is the Bible said is unclean. So the Lord present make us aware of our sin. Because sometimes when you come to worship, you face God, you feel like you're undone, unclean, just like Isaiah. But you also need to remember the Lord meet us at our point of need to purify us. And that reason why when you go on and when you read, you find out God sent an angel with a hot coal to touch Isaiah's perceived point of unworthiness, his lips. So basically he recognized, oh, I'm sinful, it's my lip. It's like the point of sinfulness. And the angel of God would very much like purify the point of weakness, the sinfulness. Through my imagination, I say, well, maybe if at that time he said, my hand is unclean, okay? And the Lord hosts, the angel probably would touch Isaiah's hand to be clean, to purify him and use whatever instrument he has to serve God. The same thing, when you recognize, oh, maybe, I'm saying something right, but maybe whatever I'm thinking in my mind is unclean thought. And if we recognize whatever sinfulness, uncleanness, the Lord, when you worship God, the Lord will touch that point, okay, that weakness to purify us. So God, and then the one seraphim flew to me when he recognized his lips is sinfulness. Then the one seraphim flew to me, having his hand in like coal, taken from the tongue of the altar, from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lip. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin purged. So that reason why sometimes when you worship God, worship God, it can be in your personal time or in the temple of God. Let's just say here. And when you recognize certain thing is not right with God, the movement when you recognize something is not right with God, and the Lord of hosts, the angel will purge it, purify it. So very much the fire of the coal brought regeneration to the place of impurity. Isaiah was most sensitive to. Okay, so he feel his lip is unclean, and the Lord will clean that one out. So we need to learn about the fire, the unholiness revealed, the fire of worship. What exactly is it? When it said it's regeneration, the purification. So there is, I'm listed out, maybe more, but I'm listed out about five characteristics of the fire through the holiness, of cleanliness. You would find it, the fire of worship is refined. So what exactly is it? It's burn out the residue of what unworthy. So the moment when you recognize something is unworthy, whatever still left in you, when you recognize it, and the fire of worship will burn it out. Okay? It's just like, you watch a TV, or you see some of the club very much pop up in the city of Houston. Alcoholic, unanimous alcoholic, something like that, where they people coming in and have the problem, in alcohol, they come in there and try to, control their urge of alcohol, drinking alcohol. The first thing they have to recognize, they have a problem. They have to stand in front of the group of people and say, I am alcoholic. The moment when they say, I'm alcoholic, they recognize they have a problem, and then the problem can be fixed. As a pastor, I need a lot of counseling, a lot of deep down issues the people have. And we see the problem. We come and they said they need to have counsel. But the issue is always, they always said somebody else's problem. They not recognize they themselves had a problem. But if they cannot recognize they had a problem, and then the problem cannot be fixed. We're talking about between people and people. And the same thing when we face the Lord. We know our weakness. We know. He knows, but he's not telling you. But it's up to you to recognize, I have some weakness. I have some sinfulness. And when you recognize that, and then the fire of worship can refine you. But secondly, the characteristic of fire of worship is also consumes. It takes the bondage out of our lives and burns it up. A couple of years ago, not roughly about 2 years ago, one of our church members had the issue. And we could figure out how to fix the problem. He had a problem in marriage. He had a problem. Now this family has already moved to another town. Okay? And he had a problem of pornography. But he hides this problem. He hides from his wife, hides from his family. And his computer have like thousand and thousand, we're talking about pornography movie. So every day or every evening, whatever, he just locked himself into the room and watch this. And up to the point it consumed him. And he began to have family problem. He began to have his workplace problem. And the problem manifest. Up to the point he had to recognize. And he stand up here, right in front of the whole church. And I stand and say, please pray for me. I have a problem. And when he recognized he had that problem, the Lord would fix him. The Father worship very much. Take the bondage. He hit bondage. You know, he under change of the pornography. He under change of some other issue too. But the Lord very much break that bondage, that change, to fix him. And thirdly, another characteristic of the fire worship is to melt. Because sometimes our heart, we may not have sin issue, but our heart is just like the stone, like a rock. Okay? Have no feeling at all. And the fire worship is supposed to melt like ice. You see, a lot of people, they're very, very cold. They couldn't interface. So go through the worship so the heart can be soft, to make soft. It's very tough. A lot of people, maybe because when they grow up in certain condition, because maybe they grow up under abusive condition from the past, so their heart is just like, in order to protect themselves, they're just like eyes. They cannot have relationship with anyone because they lost the trust from the childhood. And through the fire of worship, when they said they believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, it means that fire is burning again to melt that heart so that person can be loved, can love somebody else, can love the people, love the family. Okay? Another one is to melt that ice, but it's also somehow our heart is very, very cold. And then the fire of worship can warm that heart. So it can have relationship. This is also ignite. Because sometimes, you know, we believe in Jesus Christ and suddenly we are alive and suddenly something had happened. It looked like we completely turned off. Okay? And the Lord would turn us back on. So that reason why this morning or even for the week come in, for the next couple of days, sometimes you have to go back and review yourself. What is the point of your great weakness. Okay, the worst weakness. Well, what is that point? Okay, and when you recognize that, and if you come to God in the midst of His holiness, and His purifying fire will touch us from that point. Okay, and each one of us, we have certain weakness. So what is it we need to recognize? Especially we at the end of the Vietnamese year here. Okay, in 2 weeks, we get ready for Tết, the Vietnamese New Year. So for the Asian, for the Vietnamese, we have 2 chances. Okay, the end of the year, last December, to reveal ourselves. Okay, and pray to God to recharge. But if we miss that day, we still have the next chance, which means for the next few weeks, go back and review. But it's also holiness activate, because when every time, and when you read the passage in Isaiah, you will find out we can hear the praise around the throne of God. We hear holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, the Lord hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And sometimes we forgot our Lord is glory, full of glory for the whole earth, not just, our small setting, Houston. So he's talking about His gratefulness, His power. And sometimes we forgot about that. So the focus is on God's holiness. Sometimes we think holiness as the purity we try to achieve. Remember, we as a human being, we cannot achieve holiness by ourselves. It's just no way. Because, we ourselves is a sinful nature. And from the sinful nature, it's no way we can self-correct and become holiness. So that reason why sometimes the people think, God will reject us if we not holy. Okay? And a lot of people you would interface, you would find out sometimes the good Christian, they follow the Lord and something happened. Something had happened and suddenly they feel unholy, unworthy. Okay? For human being, that's a natural reaction. Okay? Because we feel that way. Okay? But remember, the Lord wants us to worship Him because it's there we find the wholeness. We find the wholeness. Because the root of relationship between the world, the whole, the healthy, holy, wholeness, holy. And when we talk about holiness, we talk about the wholeness. Holiness is God's entire intimate incompleteness. The only way for happiness is to come to Him in the presence. Okay? Because also in the Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, because it's written, be holy, for I am holy. Well, what is meant is not you not try to be holy, but when you come into the worship to the Lord, because He's holy, okay? Because of holy, so you reflect and you become holy. So that reason why the only way for you to become holy when you come to God's presence. And that's the tricky statement, okay? Because sometimes we say, because it's written, be holy, for I'm holy, and we're thinking, I try to be holy so I can see God. No. Human being, we are unable to do that. We can be holy when we come to the presence of the Lord holy, and we rely on Him, okay, to help us, to purify us. That reason why the holiness is restored, because God calling us to worship Him in His presence in order that transfer of being into us may take place. If you study the word, they say worship, basically about start with the word worth. The word worth is come from the word axios, originally defined as the money. Okay, in the ancient year when they do the trading, they use valuable material for trading to use as the transaction. Let's just say like gold. Okay, it's the unit of trading. However, when gold you for the coin for transaction, let's just say you have $1 gold. Okay, it has certain weight, But after you use that gold or that coin for a while, and somehow it's lost some value. Initially, it can be $1 gold, it can be 1 ounce. After you use it for a while, it becomes only 0.8 ounce because it's lost. Okay, it loosened because the transaction is changed from hand to hand. So somehow it's lost some values. And that's exactly how Isaiah felt. Okay, he, the man of God, he served God. And somehow when he goes through the process of whatever the life he goes through, and suddenly he loses some value. Just like 1 ounce of gold, and for after a couple of years, after all the trading, facing the world and travel, whatever, transaction, and suddenly 1 ounce gold is only 0.8 ounce left. And that's how Isaiah feel. And it can happen to you too. Okay? When you pray, accept Christ as your Lord Savior, you have salvation, you have eternal life, you feel real good, and you real gung-ho to follow Christ on the back. And then you go through life, okay, and get beat up real bad, and somehow your worth or your value drop. Isaiah feel the same thing. Okay? But God calling us into worship because his glorious, his present, okay, in order to transfer whatever his being, the wholeness of him, transfer to us so we can be whole again. And that's the mystery of God. Sometimes it's very, very difficult to explain, but it takes place during worship. And it's just so critical for you to understand this, because I don't know how your life will take place, but trust me, sometimes you have the day or the week or even the year you're very, very low. It means your worth, your value drop. So I would ask you, it's just like Isaiah, his value dropped when the king Uzziah died. And when he experiencing God, the being of God, God being transferred to him, so he feel whole again. And that's so critical to remember this. Right now, you might be whole. I don't know. But right now, you might be half full. And you didn't feel like you're worthy. And if that moment in time when you feel that way, come to God through his worship. And because his promise, his being will transfer to you. It will take place to make you whole again. So when the worth has been worn off the corn of our life, you know, the unit of our life, and the God nature within us begin to restore through worship. Worship is a situation in which the wholeness is restored because God's worth poured into us so we become worthy. It's critical to remember this, to understand this. Because some of you're still young. You're not thinking about it yet. But trust me, you will, through life, some point it up, some down. But remember, worship make you whole again. So that reason why we have to come to the presence of God, to be whole again, to feel worthy again. And when you feel worthy again in front of God, and then you can be able to face the world as the worthy person. Or else deep down in you, some insecurity, some sadness, and you may impact other people. But you don't even know you impact negatively. But when you wholeness with God, worthy with God, and then you impact the world in a positive way. So I pray to God just about, because a commitment to this church, a commitment to each one of you, every morning when I come to church to pray for each one of you, I onward pray that you be whole, you worthy, so you can face the world with that reflection, okay, with that positive notes. But it's also when we fullness of God, and then the mission is found. Also, I heard the voice of God saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. Remember, when you fullness of God, and then you can hear God's voice. How many of you in the morning, you hear God's voice said, whom shall I send this morning? When you get ready to go to work, or even you go to school, if you can hear God's voice, say, whom I send? And then like Isaiah said, here I am, send me. So every day, believe it or not, you get up in the morning, God may say, whom shall I send this morning? Okay, to Methodist Hospital, to University of Houston if you go to school, or Memorial High School, I don't know, or middle school, whom shall I send? Who will work for us? It's meant to God. Do you hear that voice of God calling? Because when you wholeness of God and then you take a shower and when you make yourself look and look at the mirror and you say, here I am, send me. Just like Isaiah. Remember, Isaiah, he go through life. He go to church. He go to the temple. He worship God. He face the world. He work with the king. He counseling. He advising. He face a lot of people. But he had never hear God's voice. So I pray to God every morning. When you get up in the morning, you hear God's voice. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us, O Lord? And I hope that you say, here I am, send me. I go to school this morning. Monday I go to school. Send me to that school so I can be reflect the Lord. Some of you go to work. Some of you second week of working now. Then I said, here I am, send me. So I can be impact the world. Sometimes we're thinking about, yes, send me, it's me go to strange land. Maybe someday. But you're now in the preparation stage because God will use you mightily wherever you are. So you can face the world based on God's command. And notice the statement. He didn't say, Isaiah, I'm going to send you. No. He kept like, whom shall I send? Who will go first? And he kept letting it hang there. But he expect you to respond. Okay? So is it possible every day God calling you? But because you're not the wholeness of God, so you can hear him. So every day you can go to work and say, oh my goodness, I go to school again. Oh my goodness, have the test again. So the Spirit of God had to be in and say, here I am, send me. Here I am, send me. But you have to hear God's voice in order to do that. And suddenly, trust me, suddenly you see the world differently, different perspective. And people see you differently when you face the world just like God called, sending me to that place. Yes, someday some of you, God will call you to become a missionary in the strange land. But right now, most of you, not yet. But God's sending you where you are. But the key is, every morning we have to hear, whom shall I send this morning? Who will go first? And I pray that you will say, here I am, send me. So after the angel purified his lips, the Lord gave him a mission. And the mission of our life is also in worship. You can only find your direction, intended purpose in the context of worship. So every day, you have to worship too. Every day. But in the context of worship, you face the world differently. You find out your direction. You find out intended purpose in the context of worship. Yes, worship once a week, we get to gather together in this place to worship God. But every day, everything is related to worship in the context of worship. Family is in the context of worship. How to become a mom, how to become a dad. At work, how to be a good worker so you can impact the world. Because that's the mission field. So, what exactly I try to communicate, if you have worshiped God, we would have the characteristic of God. It's just like each one of us, we inherit certain characteristics of our biological parent. Somehow in the DNA, we look like our parent biologically. So as we worship the image, the nature of our God, our Lord Jesus Christ, that image, Heavenly Father, begin to manifest into our life. And somehow, eventually, we'll be like Him. Somehow. But if we're missing out the worship, and then the image and the nature of our Heavenly Father will disappear from us. So if we can say, God, our Father, do we reflect that image and the nature of that Father when we pray? So the fact God is so holy, so He related to our healing, restoration, not our shame and condemnation. Because He's rebuilding us, restoring us, recharging us. So we become reflecting of Him when we face the world. So each one of you, most of you in this room, probably you already pray, accept Christ in your heart as your Lord, your Savior. So it means He already in us. So so we will be holy because He is our Father and He is holy. And that reason why Peter, he said, God promised, be holy, for I am holy. So each one of you, when you look at each other, okay, you have that holy in you because God is holy. So we come to see Him face to face with Him. His being already transferred to you. So you can be holy and receive the mission every day of your life when you face the world. Let us stand up. Let's read this together. Be holy, for I am, it means God. Huh? Okay, not. Okay, let's read just exactly like that. Because God said, be holy, for I am holy. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You very much. Because for this morning, when we study the wholeness of worship, we recognize ourselves, how weak we are. So we rely on You, Your being to transfer to us when we worship You, so we can face the world with the purpose, with the mission, with the direction from You. And we love You, and we pray that You would use us mightily based on Your plan and Your will. May God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit will be with all the people in this room. The wholeness of worship. The wholeness of a being from now and forever. Amen.